So we're back to another edition of Agree to Disagree, the unique podcast of the Salt Lake Tribune's editorial board. I'm George Pyle, the editorial page editor.
I'm Michelle Quist, editorial writer.
And this week, one of the big news stories out of this part of the country, Nevada, but close to Utah, was the fact that Clive and Bundy and a couple of his sons and one other person, I guess, not only were they... There was a mistrial declared
right, a few weeks ago.
The trial, they were facing charges having to do with that armed standoff where the government was trying to seize the cattle that they had been running on federal land and not paying their grazing fees.
Right.
There was a court order that said, well, you owe a lot of money and you're not paying the money, so we'll seize your cattle. And the Bundys and their friends showed up with a lot of rifles. And so did some federal agents. And
who showed up first.
And rather than open fire and hurt people and hurt themselves and perhaps create some martyrs in the process, the federal agencies decided to retire from the field.
That
was left kind of hanging for a while. And then I think, I don't remember where it was exactly. It might have had to do with the fracas in Oregon. But eventually, they were arrested, brought to trial, and the charges were thrown out.
Right. There was a mistrial because of government abuse. Before we go on, I do need to put a disclaimer in there that I was formerly married to Marcus Mumford, who was the attorney for Ammon Bundy up in Oregon.
So small world.
So there is a connection there with me, but...
There's always a connection somewhere with somebody.
Yeah.
It's 6 degrees of separation with everything.
Right. So it was the judge declared the mistrial in Nevada, but took some time to decide whether she would allow the government to bring the charges again or not. And that's, you know, whether she would dismiss the charges with or without prejudice. And she came back and said that she was dismissing them with prejudice, which means that they can't bring those same charges against the same defendants ever again.
Yeah. Now, that's not always the way it works. I mean,
usually.
If you're acquitted, you're acquitted. If there's a mistrial because of government wrongdoing or the jury just can't reach a verdict or something like that.
Right.
Then, usually, the way I understand it, the government, whether it's state or federal, has to go back and sit in their office and decide
regroup.
Whether they want to try the case again.
Right, and they get to decide.
Most
of the time, they retry again. But when a judge dismisses with prejudice, the government can't do anything but appeal that judge's order to the Ninth Circuit.
So, and... I mean, I can understand, if the judge made the first ruling, I can understand why she would have made the second ruling. Because if they did try the case again, I would imagine they would have no other evidence and no other facts and no other testimony than they had the first time.
Well, no, they would have had that evidence that was kept from them before. So there were more than 3,000 pages of documents that the government had kept from the defense. And I think they found that out. And so presumably in a second trial, they would have had that extra evidence, evidence.
Okay. So arguably they could have said, okay, no harm, no foul. Here's the evidence we should have given you the first time.
Right.
Now it's fair and square.
Right.
We can proceed.
And that's usually how it happens. But in this case, the Judge Navarro, said this is too... The government violated the defendant's rights too far, I don't know if she wanted to make an example of this or she just saw in front of her the fact that this was egregious. I mean, it was such a violation of their constitutional rights it's not that they didn't look in a place and didn't know they had other evidence.
No.
They had the evidence,
right.
And they knew they were withholding it from the defense.
Right. And we've talked to prosecutors, state prosecutors, county-level prosecutors in Utah about that, and they have – there's a name for this rule, which I forget what it is. But the idea that if the prosecution or the police have evidence that would help the defense
– Oh, yeah.
And on the theory that the prosecution and the police have all the investigative tools and powers, and so in the interest of justice, they're supposed to share that with the defense.
They have to.
And yeah. But there's some concern. I mean, this perhaps was a particularly egregious case, but there's quite a bit of concern you hear around here that they don't always do that.
There is concern here in Utah. It's mm-hmm. it's a Brady violation when they don't mm-hmm. share the you know the evidence or whatever it is. The problem comes because the case law gives the government the right to decide what is necessary to share and what
right.
isn't, and it's not necessary. The key word is I'm forgetting it, but yeah. it's you know something like what will help the defendant
right. yeah.
through this
I mean,
case, and what is just totally
it's
irrelevant.
It's just stuff, yeah, because there's always I mean, especially if it's like if it's in a bank fraud or a white collar crime or
right.
something, you might have reams and reams of paperwork. And, you know, maybe the worst thing you could do to the other side is give it to them and force them to
yeah,
sort
through
their way
all. That's
through
one
all
of the
that.
Strategies. But the problem is that mm. the government gets to decide. And
right.
that's, you know, that opens it up for mm. violating the you know, a Brady violation and
right.
violating the constitutional rights. In this case in Nevada, though, I mean, this was so bad. And it came about because of this whistleblower memo
mm-hmm.
that was written by Wooten. I'm forgetting his first name. He was an agent on the case.
Mm-hmm.
He started to complain about certain things that were going on,
mm-hmm.
and he was kicked off the case, and he wrote a memo to the Justice Department,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that's how these came about. The things that he describes, it's Larry Wooten.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had testified prior before the grand jury, so he had given evidence to bring the claims against
mm-hmm.
the Bundys
mm-hmm.
in Nevada, and later realized, you know, this is kind of getting out of hand.
Right.
He described the agents acting basically just childish and amateurish, making fun of the defendant, and that doesn't even go as far as what they were doing. You know, they were biased against his religion, the Mormon religion. They were biased against his political persuasion. I mean, they were just constantly showing their bias and making fun of them and trying in every way to make it difficult for them to have a fair trial, you know? And so that, within that memo came out the news, the fact that the government, the FBI, had sent snipers before it started,
mm-hmm.
which the Bundys had said had happened. And everyone's like, and the government said, no, you know, that there were no snipers there until you brought your guns out.
Yeah.
And this memo showed that they were, that the Bundys had been
yeah.
right. It gives a lot of credence to people who are, you know, professing an anti-government
yeah.
Persuasion because of bias that exists.
Right. And so, I mean, you know, my feeling is that, you know, these people belong in jail. But if the government doesn't play by the rules, then that's the only way you can punish the government. I mean, I suppose you could fine the individual government attorneys. They don't have a lot of money. I suppose you could throw them in jail. You know, that might be...
you could disbar them.
You could disbar them. And I don't know, maybe that's still a possibility. And I wouldn't be
but
opposed...
But these were FBI agents.
Yeah, and you could fire the FBI agents.
Yep.
But in the court, I mean, if you do it wrong, if you don't follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
and you're the government who
mm-hmm.
are supposed to be enforcing the rules,
mm-hmm.
the main hammer the judge has is to say, you lose.
Right.
And they don't want to lose.
Right.
So you would say, okay, so that's the hammer they have.
Right.
Is, you know, you stepped out of bounds, you violated the rules. Even if on the merits of the case you might deserve to win, you lose because you didn't follow the rules. That's the exclusionary rule where
yeah.
if you seized evidence without a warrant or in violation of the Fourth Amendment, you can't use the evidence. If that means you lose the case, too bad.
Right.
I
don't agree. Well, I don't agree with two things. I don't agree that they're people that should be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
They had a, you know, they didn't pay their grazing rights and they
mm-hmm.
had these lawsuits against them and they lost those lawsuits
mm-hmm.
and so the government does have a right to go in there and recoup that money and,
mm.
and seize the cattle.
No.
I don't think they should go to jail because they, you know, I don't like the debtor's jail kind of an idea.
Well,
if there are
no,
cows there, if there are assets
right.
there, take the cows. And
yeah,
that
but
should
when,
be settling the...
Yeah, but when you don't take the cows because there's an armed platoon there...
Yeah, but...
That's you're pointing gun. I mean...
But the government pointed the guns first.
Yeah, and no, that's important. And that's...
Well,
yeah.
That's like, to me, that's the merit of the case. You know, I don't think this case was, you know, should have been dropped or dismissed because there were constitutional violations. Mm-hmm. I think this case should have been dismissed because it was entrapment. I mean, they brought their guns out. They set their snipers up. They talked about this was the most. The Wooten memo said something like this was the worst way they could have dealt with a cattle seizure. Mm-hmm. You know, the hardest, the most aggressive way they could have set up a simple cattle seizure is the way they did it. And they did it because they said they displayed clear prejudice against the Bundys, their supporters, and Mormons, and prominently displayed degrading altered booking photos of Clive and Bundy. I mean, it was just, it just went on and on. For some reason, and I'm not going to fault the U.S. attorneys were involved. Mm-hmm. They knew what was going on with the. But the investigators, the FBI at the beginning, for some reason, and I don't know if it was Dan Love or only Dan Love or others, you know, he's had problems, obviously, recent problems. He's been dismissed because of, you know, showing that he, what did he, extort a ticket to, what's that desert, fireman.
Burning man. Yes.
The fireman.
Yeah, that's good. We'll do our own and call it that. Yeah.
Used his position to, you know, to better himself.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what these FBI agents were doing. They. It was this is the problem. It was a political vendetta instead of a legal prosecution.
Wow. Well, I mean, the way the prosecution was handled, there's no forgiveness for that. You're the prosecutor. You're supposed to be enforcing the rules. You break the rules, you lose. That's the way it's got to work.
Yeah.
I'm just envisioning, instead of a bunch of white guys with cowboy hats, if you have a bunch of black people with backwards baseball caps pointing that many rifles at the DEA, are they going to get off on a, and I hate the word technicality because it's not just a technicality, are they going to get off on a point of law? Are they going to live long enough to get to court?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this is, you know, whatever prejudice against cowboys or Mormons the investigators or the prosecutors may have shown, these guys have no respect for the United States of America. These guys have no respect for the law. And the problem is when the prosecutors don't either.
Yeah.
You know, then you're in a real mess.
That's the concern, because if it was in the South, it would have it could have been not white men, and it could have been worse. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it'd be more likely to have been Oakland, maybe, or Detroit. But and I do think that they say the prosecutors don't like these people. Well, they don't like these people because they consciously and with great fanfare say that they're not subject to the law.
But they're allowed to say that.
Well,
this
they're allowed
America.
To say it. You're allowed
they're
to say
allowed
it, but
to
they're
say it. But they and they lost their suit that they can graze free, and the federal government has the right to go in there and take the cattle now.
Yeah.
But the people should still be able to say that whatever they want and think whatever they want. Yeah. And just because they happen to be white, and not black, and they and they weren't gunned down, doesn't mean that they're any different than or any more guilty or any than if it had been a black person. The problem in this case was the federal government and the FBI agents hating the Mormons in that area, hating the Bundy family, hating the Bundy family supporters, hating militiamen. I mean, it's kind of hard to love militiamen. You know, I get that.
No, I think that
their whole purpose is
their whole. I mean, it's threatening a violent overthrow of the United States government. And you know, you can say, well, the Bundys and their, it wasn't the Bundys who first brought the rifles, who first brought the guns to the knife fight.
Yeah.
It was the government. But did the government have some reason to feel like they needed to do that
in this
because
case,
of what the Bundys were saying or putting online or right. the rallies they were having and people standing around with guns and in right. fatigues and standing around basically saying, we don't care what the law is. We don't care what the federal government says. We don't care what the court ruling was. We get to run our cattle on this land for free because.
Yeah.
And when you go around saying that and you're wearing fatigues and bringing rifles to the party, you know, then it sure. does become a matter of, okay,
if the government speech to mm-hmm. action. Sorry,
yeah.
go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, if the government wasn't the first one there with rifles, you know, then we'd all be saying, well, why didn't they bring rifles? They knew that the bad guys were going to be there with guns. And then sort of the question becomes, okay, now what?
Yeah.
Because those particular charges are gone and won't be filed again out of that incident. I think there's probably every reason to believe there will be another incident
yeah.
because the Bundys still think that it's their God-given right to run their cattle on United States land for
right.
free.
But the fact is the government yeah. still has a settlement against them mm-hmm. and can still go in and seize their cattle. And, I mean, obviously I hope it won't in that way. But mm-hmm. in this instance, I understand what you're saying about groups that portray themselves as wanting conflict. But mm-hmm. in this case, mm-hmm. the U.S. attorneys, the FBI, the Department of Justice had already done a risk assessment mm-hmm. of the Bundy family that said exactly, this family is not a threat. Mm-hmm. They had that. Well. They had that going into their cattle seizure, and mm-hmm. they brought in mm-hmm. five different agencies worth of people, even well. For a family that wasn't a threat.
Well.
Yeah, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they try a cattle seizure again.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
and
they need to.
Well, they need to do something. I mean, I suppose you know if the Bundy family had a lot of money in the bank, they could seize that,
right?
And then there wouldn't be a physical confrontation. Apparently, they don't,
right?
Or they would have tried that already. I guess I don't know. They've screwed this up so much. Maybe
right.
maybe we'll
they
later
find
out.
They need to find a broker that can yeah. go in and mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Settle it.
Right.
Say okay.
Well, I mean, but I mean,
Cliven,
of course,
let's do this.
That's where we're at now, is because of the foul ups that the federal government did, whether it was bringing the first gun or filing the wrong charges or the thing that we all agree was wrong, not turning over the evidence that,
yeah.
that belonged to the defense. You know, the second time, because now I don't know the mind of Cliven Bundy, but you would think that him and his supporters are going to say, cool, we've figured out a way not to have our cattle seized. We just show up with a bunch of rifles. They don't even have to be loaded.
I don't know if they're that dumb.
And, well, we may find out, and we may find out how dumb the government is, too. I don't know if, you know, with a different administration and a different Interior Secretary.
Right. Different agents down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Regions.
And maybe they will find a way to defuse this, and maybe they will find a way to very quietly let the Bundys say, look, you know, just don't put your cattle over here,
right,
okay?
Right.
And then we don't have an opportunity to seize them, and we won't be standing there staring at each other with guns.
Right.
And we want to defuse this. And the question is, you know, does the federal government want to defuse this?
Right.
Do the Bundys want to defuse
right.
this?
Right. And that's the bigger question. That's, I mean, when you're talking about domestic terrorism, you have to talk about the reason for it. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there are many groups around the entire country, not mm-hmm. just here in the West,
right.
who believe, you know, that are behaving this way or, you know, mm-hmm. training or whatever they're doing because
yeah.
they believe that the government is out to get them
right.
in whatever way, financially, mm-hmm. physically, their land, their property, you know, out to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And when things like this happen down in Nevada, this just bolsters that.
Right.
You know,
no.
we have to have a clear mm-hmm. direction from the administration to our officials, to our agents
right.
in the FBI and, you know, the Department of Justice to say the most important mm-hmm. thing is the constitutional rights. Don't go over that.
Right.
You know, don't breach those.
Right. And you know, when is that even necessary? I mean, if you've got a case.
Right.
I mean, that's always the thing that, I mean, like when they don't get a warrant in a case where they should have gotten a warrant.
Yeah.
They make it sound like warrants are written in unicorn's blood on
yeah.
gold leaf. Wake up a judge and get a warrant. It's not
so
that hard.
Easy. It's yeah. so tempting to feel like you have power from mm-hmm. your place of authority
right.
and that you don't need that or you're you know what I mean like you
right.
you can you, the, I'm puffing up my body right now and of course listeners yeah. can't hear that but you know you get a little power and it's
right.
like Did I say listeners can't hear that? I meant they can't. Well, yeah, they can't hear that, and they can't see it.
And they can't see it. So you're right, both ways.
It's just this bravado, this, you know, this, I can do anything that I want. I don't need a warrant because this is totally going to, you know, show that he's a criminal.
Right.
But you still have to have those protections. You just do. And I think we need more humility.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think also the fact is not, it's the power that goes to the head. That's definitely true. Mm-hmm. It's also the idea, I mean, they don't tell us that. What they tell us is, oh my God, it's a ticking bomb situation. And we had to go in without a warrant. Warrants are too hard to get. They take too long to get.
And there are those cases.
And there it happens. Yeah. And courts will make allowances for that.
You hear someone screaming behind a door.
Right. I mean, you know, sometimes there is a ticking bomb. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there is somebody whose life is in imminent danger, whether it's the agent or a third party, an innocent person. And so, yeah, you bash down the door and you shoot first and ask questions later. But most of the time, just get a warrant. It's not that hard. They're easy. They have forms to fill out, and you get the judge to sign it. And they'll sign it unless you lied to them last time.
Right.
And then next time, maybe you won't get
it. Right, right. And but, there are lists of officers who can't be trusted. Defense attorneys have those. So if prosecutors don't have those, then you're going to lose in court because you can bet that the defense attorneys know which officers they can attack their credibility on.
Right.
And I think that's the lesson from Bundy, Nevada incident for Utah, for Utah prosecutors, for our attorney general's office, for our U.S. attorney's office. Just, you know, let's regroup. Let's make sure that the first thing that we're thinking of is the law, is the legal rights for the people that we are prosecuting. They have their rights until you prove they're guilty.
Right. And I think, I mean, for those of us who think that the Bundys are just horrible people and have no respect for the law and no respect for the government and no respect for all the other cattle ranchers who pay their grazing fees, you know, I say this a lot. The Bundys don't work for me. The government does. So I have a higher expectation of what the government does, or I have a right to question what the government does because they work for me. And they really fouled it up in this case. And by so doing, by fouling it up, empowered a bunch of people who don't deserve to be empowered. And that's bad. I was telling you the other day, The DUI case I covered a long time ago as a reporter in a small town, and we only cared because the defendant was running for city council. It was 2 o'clock in the morning in Ottawa, Kansas. There's nobody out at 2 o'clock in the morning in Ottawa, Kansas, except the police. And this night, Lester Graham, who was stopped at a stoplight, sitting in his Lincoln Continental, and his light turned red, green, yellow, red, green, yellow. He didn't move.
Went through the cycle a couple times.
Car didn't move. Policeman comes over thinking maybe this guy's sick or dead or something.
Yeah.
He's drunk. He's got a bottle in the car next to him. He hasn't moved. Go to trial. Municipal court found guilty of DUI, appeals to district court, gets a jury trial, and gets off because nobody ever actually saw him drive that car.
Right. You have to prove every element of the case.
And you have to, like, ask the question. I mean, the prosecutor could have at least said to the police officer, you know, Did anybody else drive this car?
Right.
Was anybody else around?
Right.
Is there any way he could have gotten there if he hadn't been driving the car a minute or a half an hour or 2 hours ago?
Right.
And put on the record, I don't see any way that he could have been in this case, in this situation, without having driven that car. I suppose maybe he was sober until he got there, and then he started drinking and got drunk. I don't know.
Well, and that's what they tried to do in Nevada. The government tried to say, you know, of course, the Bundys were saying it was self-defense. They had all their rifles out because it was self-defense, and the government was trying to rebut that, you know, it wasn't self-defense. And they were thinking of the elements of the crime, but they were then they were covering up their own malfeasance.
Right.
You know, they didn't want to admit that they had been there first. The snipers had been lined up first.
Right. Well, see, now I would probably argue that that wasn't malfeasance, but I would argue they should tell people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they had reason, and you say they did a risk assessment, and they say, well, these specific 12 people, they're not going to shoot us, but you know, they have a lot of supporters who want to show up and be. And be Hector Heathcote here and do something. And so maybe their threat assessment wasn't very good. but tell everybody. Put it all on the record. Admit to the defense to the judge. Yes, we had snipers there, and here's why we had snipers there. And then, you know, the jury can decide whether we were justified in having snipers there.
The cover-up's always a thousand percent worse.
Cover-up's worse than the crime, and this was a case where that happened.
Yep.
So, you know, we will now go forward, and we will see if, you know, Secretary Zinke and the Trump administration, who was going to protect us from the deep state of all these guys, is going to handle that any differently, if...
I hope they'll clear up the prosecutor group of prosecutors.
Yeah, no,
you
these
know, I hope they clean it up.
No,
I hope
they
get
should
the bad seeds out.
They should, because it's bad for everybody. It's if you're a Bundy or you are a supporter of the Bundys, what the prosecutors did was bad. If you are an opponent of the Bundys, you think they're awful people. What the prosecutors did was bad. So what the prosecutors did was bad.
So I guess we're agreeing on
that. We're agreeing on that. You know, I have maybe less sympathy for the Bundys than some other people, but I fully agree. I fully agree. And whether it's, you know, Mexican cocaine dealers or Nevada ranchers or whoever it is, they've got to have the benefit of due process, because otherwise we don't know that they're drug dealers or cattle rustlers or anything else.
I think cocaine dealers are really a lot worse than cattle ranchers who owe money.
Well, but no, I'm not saying they're morally
equivalent.
Equating
them,
I'm saying it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah,
you've got to have the benefit of due process. We've got to play by the rules.
That's right.
And when we don't, you know, the bad guys win.
Right.
So we mostly agree on this part.
That's kind of what I wrote about in my column this week. I wrote about Attorney General Sean Reyes. I hope he concentrates a little more on leading the attorneys in his office to do the right thing.
Right. Yeah. And there's certainly a lot for them to do. Check that out on sltrib.com. We have that. We have the editorial opinion today on the Bundy case and how, and I think the editorial were all comfortable with, the government screwed up and that was bad. And innocent people are going to pay the price for that. As we go forward to this Sunday, I think I'm going to weigh in a little bit on the controversy over the New York Times obituary of Thomas Monson and try and go the next step about what the reaction says and what a Rorschach test that whole thing was. SLTrib.com/opinions. And we'll be back next week, unless we forget, with another edition of Agree to Disagree. Thanks for listening.